Hi, I'm Jody. Can you hear me okay if I just kind of speak in the direction of the microphone? So I'll just tell you a little bit about myself. I feel better now that my people are here. Thank you, Jennifer. Let's see. So I'm married to my high school sweetheart. We knew of each other actually in middle school, but it wasn't until halfway through high school we started dating, and he stole my seat in Spanish class. And he was kind of cute. So that's how we met, really. And we just celebrated 15 years of marriage this summer, so that was really fun. We got to get away and get refreshed, so that was really life-giving. We have 4 children. My oldest is now 10, and my youngest just turned 3 in the spring, which means I have done diapers for a decade. So I get you, and I know where you're at, and I know what life looks like with little people in your house and under your feet and in your cabinets and, you know, all that stuff. And I'm still there in some ways, but I am also seeing the light too. Like, I'm starting to see, like, a friendship in my 10-year-old, so that's exciting and hopefully encouraging to you. Let's see, career-wise, I started in the business world of marketing and worked for a big boat company and realized pretty quickly I'm just not a business lady. Like, being in an office felt very, like, jail-ish to me. And then God led me to teaching, and I instantly fell in love with a little classroom in a Title I school. And within minutes, I was like, this is what I was supposed to do. So I taught for several years until we started our family. And now I'm primarily home. I've been home for several years, just picking up odd jobs here and there along the way. Let's see, my 2 older kids are here at FBA, and I'm homeschooling my 5-year-old, and my 3-year-old thinks she's being homeschooled too. But that means my dining room table is covered with homeschool work during the day and homework at night, but it's just always covered in schoolwork. So I love your theme for MOPS this year. When Jennifer was talking to me about sharing today, she was sharing with me that the verse this year is John 10:10, which says that the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And then Jesus says, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And everything in me that hears that verse, like, sighs and wants to, like, soak that up and think, like, yes, I want life to the full. And what does that mean? And how do we get that? So I love your theme. And part of that, having life to the full, is having people and having your people and having people beside you, because that's when we function the best, is when we have our people next to us. So specifically, we're going to be talking about having life to the full in the area of friendships. So in preparation for today, I panicked and had a lot of anxiety about speaking. Like, my husband's job is my worst nightmare. And then I procrastinated a little, and then eventually I did a little research and dug into an article, and I listened to a great sermon, so I'll reference that a couple times. But the first article I came across was from Sally Clarkson. She's written some great books, The Life-Giving Home, The Life-Giving Parent. Those have really inspired me. But in an article I found, she just kind of laid out the need for friendship. And so I wanted to talk about that for a minute, that we need friendships. In Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, it says, 2 are better than 1. They have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another there to lift him up. And based on that verse, she talks about how all along it was God's plan for us to function in community and in friendships. And it's no coincidence that often the enemy who comes to kill and steal and destroy will attack us when we're most alone and when we're isolated. And being a mom with young kids, you're isolated a lot, whether it's because you're in the corner nursing or you just, you know, haven't taken a shower in a while and left the house. It can be really isolating, and that's often when Satan attacks us and starts messing with our minds and starts putting doubt and fear in our hearts. So again, Sally Clarkson just lays out that we need each other. And being alone is usually a target for Satan to attack us and discourage us, and that we were never meant to live alone. We live in an isolated society where we move across the country and we follow jobs, and, you know, because of technology, we can still keep in touch with people. But a long time ago and throughout history, communities were built where you usually had a mom in the house or an auntie or a sister. There was women around that you could share life with and encouraging, and you could cry together. People would walk out their back doors and hang their clothes on a line together while they shared their stuff. And we just don't do that often. And I think the enemy often wants us to think that that's okay and normal. And if you need people, maybe there's something wrong with you. But loneliness is not a sin. It's not a bad thing. It's a desire that we've been given, made in the image of God, to draw us near to each other and to encourage each other. I also listened to a great sermon from J.D. Greer, and I was tempted to just play the sermon because it's so much better than anything I could say, but he just talked about our need for friendship also. And basically, he echoed Sally Clarkson's thought by saying, you were made for friendship, and friendships will ultimately make you, which I think that was really powerful. You were made for friendships, and ultimately your friendships will make you. And I think the fact that you're here today shows that you're on the right track. You're looking for community and friends. You left your house. Good for you. And you're all dressed, and you look nice. So you are obviously already thinking about that and recognizing your need for that. So as I share and I think about what is friendship, and we know that we need it, and we know that it really will kind of define us, I kind of had a moment of laughing because I'm really not that great at friendships. And I was sharing with a couple of friends that I had been asked to share on this, and I was like, I've messed up so many times in friendship, and I was sharing some examples, and my friend said, well, share that. I was like, oh, like my mistakes? She's like, yeah, because people can relate to that. So here's some mistakes I've made, and then we'll get to like some positive things. But in friendship, I've made the mistake of pushing people away when I really should have communicated. Several years ago, one of my closest, dearest friends, and we had walked through a lot of life together. She'd had a preemie baby that was only 25 weeks old, lived in a NICU for 3 months in Wisconsin where she didn't live. She had just gone for a funeral, had the baby, had like a duffel bag. So we had walked through some stuff with her, really, really close friend. But then shortly after that, I went through a really hard season. I'd lost someone close to me. I'd had a miscarriage. We moved. We'd stepped into ministry and really had to like step out of our home and just crazy things. And this friend just wasn't there for me the way I needed her to be. So instead of using my words, which is what I tell my toddlers, I just did this great thing of putting up walls, which I'm really good at. I'm really good at just kind of pulling away from people and putting up walls. I like to think I have a really nice fortress that no one can come in, you know, without like a password. So I had decided that this friend had let me down, and I wasn't communicating what I needed. I was just continuing to be hurt by her lack of availability to me in that season when I was just really kind of in a dark place. So I sat her down, and I tried to break up with her, like literally. Like think high school breakup. That's what I did. I was like, okay, here's the things that, you know, I'm not happy about, and it's over. So goodbye. So she shocked me when she started crying and told me she loved me and she was sorry and she was so sweet. And I realized like I should have just told her that way ahead of time. And then she denied my request to break up. And she's still one of my best friends today and someone I can call at any minute. And she just gets me and we can pray on the phone together. And it's so sweet. But instead of communicating, I just wanted out of something that felt like it could hurt. So I have a tissue because I'm just a woman and I thought maybe I would need that. Let's see. Another example of where I've messed up is I didn't give grace to people and I had unrealistic expectations of people. Anybody do that? Okay, so God graciously brought a woman into my life several years ago, around the same time that we were stepping out of the business world and into ministry, which was a really crazy time for us. God brought this family into our life, and this woman was about 10 years wiser and older than I was. She had 5 kids, and she literally opened up her home to us, and we actually moved in with them because of financial reasons. We needed somewhere to crash. But I did life with her, and I saw her walk her kids through quiet times, and I saw the way she loved them and brought them to the family room to get on their knees to pray for someone in need, and I was just in awe of her. Her love for the Lord and her love for the Word just encouraged me and inspired me, and I thought she was amazing. However, I put her on like this pedestal where I thought she was perfect. And she had never said she was, and she had never told me that. I just kind of wanted her to be, and it looked like she was. So as our friendship matured and we got closer and we lived with them and all of these things, I realized that she had some messy parts of her life. There were some ugly things in her life that really kind of like took me back. And so instead of giving her grace in those things, again, I just kind of pulled away and thought, oh, well, you weren't who I thought you were going to be. And you aren't this person that I should be following. And so I didn't try to break up with her. I learned a little. But I did just kind of pull back, and I had these expectations of her that just weren't realistic. And so from that mistake, I've learned, and actually this is still one of my really close friends, but I've learned to give grace and let people be human. And I learned from that mistake that my expectations really often are not realistic when I'm looking at a friend and a friendship. And so that is a mistake I've made. And then here's one I think maybe someone in here can relate with me, but I sometimes compare myself to other people. Just sometimes. Just like once or twice. That might have been a problem for me in some friendships. I have compared myself to friends, and friends that I like, people that I admire initially, but then all of a sudden I feel competitive with them or I feel intimidated by them, and all of my insecurities start coming up. And so I am really good. It's scary how good I like default into just like finding other people's flaws. Because, you know, they're like a little bit too good or they're intimidating me or whatever. So then in the back of my mind, I can start finding like, oh, well, she blah, 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 or whatever, right? Like, am I alone? No. Okay, so I can compare myself, and that just has broken so many friendships. And actually, just over a year ago, I kind of felt that, like, that same destructive pattern popping up in my heart again and in my mind, where I was starting to feel a little intimidated by a friend and a little bit maybe even jealous and comparing myself. And I started noticing, like, I was pulling these flaws out, and I was kind of focusing on them. And I quickly declared war on this. I have seen this pop up in my life too many times, and I didn't want to continue walking down that same pattern. The Bible talks about only a dog would return to his own vomit. And I was like, I'm not going to eat this stuff anymore. Like, it's just disgusting. So I went to a friend, a trusted friend, and I just shared with her this ugly tendency in my heart, this sin tendency to kind of pick at people that I'm feeling jealous of or comparing myself to. And God was so sweet. He gave me accountability in this friend and really just gave me this idea of, I'm going to pray for this friend regularly. And I set an alarm on my phone and I started praying regularly for this friend. And it wasn't long before I started seeing this friend as God's daughter, as his creation, as just a person trying to figure this all out too. And I started to have more compassion for her, and I started to see her just as the person she was. And through praying through that kind of comparison game I was playing and trying to turn that back over to the Lord, God also reminded me of how he saw me and how we really were a lot more similar than I thought. Even though I was kind of creating this game in my mind of comparing, God just kind of brought it right back to who I was in him and who she was. And it gave me a lot more similarities with this friend. So I feel like I'm having a little victory in that way. When I start feeling that comparison game pop up, I'm learning to turn those thoughts into prayer quicker and quicker, but it's still not easy. So in this season of motherhood and babies and toddlers, how do we have friendships? And like John 10:10 says, how do we have friendships to the full? How do we have friendships that are life-giving? So I've got three things I want to share that I've learned and that I'm growing from, is just to be intentional. Being intentional first about who your close friends are. I mean, really, we have limited capacity. As much as the world wants to tell you can be everywhere and everything, you can't. Like, you can be real and intentional with a couple of people, and that's okay, and do that well. So really, having a couple close friends is so important, but be intentional with who they are. In chapter 13 of Proverbs, Solomon says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." In a sermon that I listened to by J.D. Greer, he talks about that verse and how he summarizes it to say, basically, the quality of the people that you choose to walk with in life will determine the outcome of your life. He goes on to quote Craig Groeschel and says, "Your friends are your future. You are usually the average of your five closest friends, and you'll become like the people you're around." So give this some thought and be intentional about who these close friends are. That doesn't mean we don't love people outside of that close friendship. That doesn't mean that we don't pursue people and encourage people outside of that. But make sure that those couple of close people in your life are the people that you want them to be, and you're not just defaulting to something because it's easy or you have fun with them. Ask God to help you see the people that are closest to you and think about, where are they going in life? What direction are they walking, and is it where you want to go? So I challenge you to make a list of your five closest friends, or for me, it's probably like four, and examine that list and think about, where is that going to lead you? If your closest friends on that list were bashing their husbands yesterday at the play date at the park, you probably will be too. And if your closest friends are wallowing in a sea of self-pity all the time and they're miserable, you probably will be too. And if your closest friends are often putting their identity in their latest outfit or how quickly their toddler was potty trained. That's probably where you're going to put your identity too. But the opposite is true. If your closest friends are building up others and encouraging and reaching out in love, then you probably will too. And if your closest friends are people that are meeting other people's needs at their own expense and sacrificing for others, even in little ways, then you'll learn that too. And more importantly, what if your closest friends are the people that are striving to have a real relationship and a friendship with the Lord? People looking for joy and love and acceptance from the actual source of love and joy, then you will too. We will become like the people we're around. We are the average of our five closest friends. And after looking at that list, if you feel a little discouraged, like, you know what, this probably isn't where I want to be going. When I look at these friends and the habits of their lives, these aren't the things that I want to mark my life. Then I would encourage you to spend some time praying through that and asking God to bring those people into your life. Like I mentioned before, that friend of mine that's about 10 years older than I am, and we ended up living in her house, God just brought her into my life, and it was such a gift of grace. But we can pray for God to bring those friends in our life. And while we're waiting and watching and looking for those friends to come, let's practice being the kinds of friends that we want to have. So that was my first point, was be intentional with who those closest friends are. You do have a choice, and it's really important. Your friends are your future. Number two is to be intentional with the friends you have. And obviously this looks different, whether it's your close friends or your friends that you're more acquaintances with, and the way that we encourage and love and be intentional with them can look really different. But this can be a little tricky for me, because several years ago, just doing an Advent study at Christmas time, I was challenged to get off social media and just to kind of let go of anything that was distracting me so that I can enjoy the gift of Christmas. And it was so sweet, especially at Christmas time when it was all like comparison stuff. I stepped off, and that season was so life-giving for me and so freeing. I almost felt like God kind of did like the blinder thing with horses, like I was the horse. And I just felt like all of a sudden I could see my family and my tasks and like my assignments more clearly, and I wasn't looking to the right and to the left so much like God warned the people in Deuteronomy 5 not to do. And I realized that's what I'm doing. I was constantly like looking around to see how I was doing and usually not feeling like I was measuring up. So after that season of being off social media, I just never went back. And I have not missed it. And it's been so life-giving. So I encourage you to pray about that if it's a distraction for you. But because of that, being intentional in friendships is a little tricky, because I don't have like a constant newsfeed of what's going on in my friend's life. Like I'll show up in the room and have no idea that you just saw this great concert last night or got a cute outfit. I don't know. But there's beauty in that too. Like I can just take you at face value. I don't know what happened last night. So it makes being intentional that much more important for me. And I'm not great at it. And I've learned to give myself grace, that I can't be everything to everyone, and I can't know about everybody's latest and greatest anything. And I find freedom knowing that that was never my job. That's God's job, to be omnipresent, to be everywhere and everything to everybody. That's not my job. And to live in the limitation of just being me with my little blinders on is so freeing. So in efforts to be intentional without having that like feed of whose birthday is when and all those helpful tricks, I try to set a lot of reminders on my phone, and just as reminders to pick back up where I left off or follow up on something. Or if I know someone's going on a vacation, I care about your vacation. I care about you. I want to know about that. So I just need to set reminders. I need to write myself a lot of notes. Actually, funny story. I have a friend that you've probably never heard of, but her name's Courtney Abraham. Kidding, everyone knows her, apparently. So she mentioned recently at our refresher table when her birthday was, and I was like, oh, okay, yes, I've got this. So I text myself, you know, Courtney's birthday is December 29th. Am I close?
You're right.
Oh, yes. But I sent it to Courtney. Oh. So Courtney got a text from me that said, your birthday is December 29th. Okay, so I'm working on this, but I try to... I will never forget your birthday now. But I'm trying to learn, like, when people share things to make a note of them and make reminders and send myself or the person a text about it. Let's see. What some other ways we can be intentional is just leaving blank note cards around. I feel like some people are really gifted in doing that and leaving really sweet notes. But if you can leave an empty pack of notes in your purse, in your car, when you're sitting in car line to pick up kids, a lot of times for me, if I can leave one by my Bible where I sit and read in the morning, when God puts someone on my heart, I can act on it right then, because it's not often that I go back and remember that without some kind of help. So having note cards ready, setting reminders for myself, and leaving myself notes to follow up with people is really helpful. And then also just asking the Lord to say, God, you know that I'm limited on my memory, especially with, you saw my people. I'm not always remembering everything, so will you help me remember what's important to my friends today? Will you help me just kind of pay attention to when they bring up things, and will you bring them to mind at the right time? So sometimes I just lean into the Lord and trust that he'll show me that at the right time, and then give myself grace for the things that I miss. And that's okay that we're not everything to everyone. And then my third point, so I said be intentional about who your close friends are, and then I was just sharing that we should be intentional with the friends we have, whether they're the close friends or not. Being intentional and thoughtful, setting reminders is so helpful. And then lastly, I wanted to say that being intentional ultimately in our friendship with the Lord is a game changer. Outside of a relationship with the Lord, we really just don't have a ton to offer other people other than our broken, messed up selves looking for value from other people. So being intentional with your friendship with the Lord is what ultimately will give you full friendships with other people. I have learned to do this in the morning, and if I don't, I typically, again, just never really can recreate that quiet time, hence my people. So I've learned to go to the Lord in the morning and sit at his feet. It gives me a sense of being rooted. Before I start my day, before my insecurities kind of start coming back up, before I'm late to anything, before anything has spilled in the kitchen, I've remembered who I am in Christ. I remember that I'm a daughter and that I'm loved and that it's okay that I don't have it all figured out, but that he knows me and that he likes me, like Jennifer was saying in that poem. And that's a game changer for me in just the way I approach my day and how I disciple my kids and how I respond to my husband and really how I'm a friend to people. And after that time of sitting with the Lord and being quiet and just kind of enjoying like a slow, unrushed time with him where I can soak him up, I feel more filled up, and then I can fill others up. So being intentional with our friendship with the Lord is a game changer. When I'm filled, I can offer grace. Outside of my time with the Lord, I do not have a ton of grace. I'm a little more impatient. I'm very efficient. I don't like to waste time. But when I've sat with the Lord, I remember that other people are broken, and they're hurting, and they're messy too, and that that's okay. It almost like gives me... it gives like an allowance for people. And the Bible talks about making an allowance for each other's faults. I don't need other people to be perfect when I've spent time in with my the friendship with the Lord. Instead of being mad at someone that they don't have it all together for my sake, I can actually just sympathize with them because I get it. And I don't have it all together either. When I'm filled up with the Lord, I can also be more available. And I think this is huge in our culture of like distraction. I literally was in a conversation not that long ago, and I thought like we were getting to know each other, and I think this person likes me, and this is great, and we're talking, and like her phone watch goes off, and literally she's like, so what were you saying? And I was like, oh, I don't even know how to respond to that. That was so rude. I don't understand. But people like are so distracted, and so being available, just being present in a moment is a gift. And again, I don't really have that to offer outside of my time with the Lord, because that's when I'm filled up and I feel like he's been present for me and I can be present for someone else. So being available and present, I can be emotionally and physically available, which is such a gift. And a lot of times this happens by having a little margin in your life. I know that's a foreign word in our world, but having margin, not filling up your entire day with tasks so you feel like you were accomplished, but letting maybe a couple hours of your day be open so you can take that phone call or sit on that park bench with your friend or have that cup of coffee, take a warm meal, or even grab someone else's kid for them when they're just feeling overwhelmed. I think having a little bit of wiggle room in our life helps us be better friends to other people. So in closing, I just, again, was going to say that I don't have it figured all out, and I'm still practicing friendship, kind of like doctors are practicing medicine, and they don't actually know either. but I am learning that one of the big keys for me is being intentional about who I choose to have in my close circle and asking God to help me see those people and really pull them in and lean into those friends. being intentional with the friends God's given me, step into their world, be present, be available, offer grace. But mostly, more importantly, I'm learning that being intentional with my friendship with the Lord allows me to have more friendships and have full friendships. So I have a little illustration. I'm super visual. If I see something, I remember it. If I hear something, I probably don't know, unless I send myself a text about it. So this is kind of this little illustration that I learned a long time ago. It really stuck with me. But outside of our friendship with the Lord and outside of a relationship with the source of life and the author of all things good and the person that loves us the most, outside of that, we're kind of like these beggars that are just walking around life saying, hey, can you make me feel special? Hi, can you give me value? I was actually hoping you could help me find some significance. Do you have anything? Get coffee? Like, we're just walking around life and we're looking for other people to fill us up. And most of the other people, like, they don't have a ton in their cup either. They're doing the same thing. We're all still like these beggars wandering around looking for other beggars to feed us and to give us this nutrition that we need. When all the while, we've been invited not to be beggars, but to be sons and daughters of the King who has a feast set for us, right? And he's the author of life, and he has an abundance of love and purpose and significance and forgiveness for us. And so what I'm learning is instead of taking this empty cup to other empty cup friends, I'm learning to go to the Lord first and focus on that relationship so that I have something else to give. So in theory, as my cup is filled up, I can, in turn, fill up other people's cups. And you know what? If they bless me and they give me purpose in that day, or they send me an encouraging note, that's great, but I don't need it the way I would if my cup was empty like that way. When I go to the Lord first and I'm filled with his love, I actually have something to offer other people. And so I encourage you to make that list of your five closest friends, or four, or three, and think about, are those the friends that you want to be doing life with? Because your friends are your future. Think about, are you being intentional with your friendship with the Lord? Because outside of that, we really don't have much to offer. So thank you.